today as we come to the table.
God's going to hold the people accountable as well. And that's what's key for us, for every generation, is that no matter what we think about our mayor or our governor or our senator or congressman, it doesn't matter. God is looking at us and saying, you have the senator and governor, you have the mayor, you have all these, that's who you deserve. I'm allowing you to have who you deserve. So if you have any complaints against your political leadership, you need to first go to your own knees in your prayer closet and say, God, what am I doing wrong? What is the church doing wrong? What are we as a nation doing wrong? And then from that's our starting point as believers. And it should have been their starting point here in the nation of Israel before they let Abimelech be in power, but they did it.
One thing we need to understand is that we serve a just God. Everything He does is balanced, thought out, and successful. God isn't going to do something just because. He's going to do something to serve a godly purpose that benefits us. In our limited minds, we can't always see what that purpose is right away. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will remind you that when you're upset, confused, or frustrated with the present world, seek God on how you may need to repent first. It's easy to just be mad at others. It's a lot harder to take a look at your own actions. Real change happens with you first. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 9, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Let's open up our Bibles to Judges, chapter 9, as we look at verses 22 through 25 and finish up chapter 9, looking at the judgment of Abimelech. And while you guys are turning there to chapter 9, let's pray and ask God to bring His word to life to us. But let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You, God, for just how You speak to us through Your word, God, how You teach us, how You build us up, how You instruct us. And Lord, You do it all by Your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need, Lord. We don't need the power of man. We don't need the wisdom of man. We want Your wisdom. We want Your word. We want Your power. And that You would now teach us, Lord, by Your Spirit, and Lord, through the life of the mistakes Abimelech made and the people made, and how we, Lord, as a nation, can turn our eyes back to You and not make the same mistakes as they did. So, Lord, we ask You, bless it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today, again, as we get into this, we look at the judgment of Abimelech. Now, we're going to be looking at this from a couple of different angles, all right? We're going to see Abimelech being judged, chastised and judged by the Lord because of his rebellion to God. But we're also going to see the people who followed Abimelech being judged and chastised as well because they were a partaker with Abimelech. Remember, whenever you see a nation go the wrong direction, it's easy to point to the leaders. It's easy to say that guy's the problem, that lady's the problem, that governor, that mayor, this city council. We can point to anybody and blame anybody for a problem that we see. But here's what the Bible teaches. And guys, note this. This is very important for us to understand as believers. The Bible says that God appoints the leaders that we have. But the Bible also said that God says, rather, that God gives us the leaders we deserve. In other words, if we have bad leadership, God is saying you deserve bad leadership as a nation. If we have good leadership, God says you deserve good leadership. Why does God do that? Because God will not go against the will of the people. God allows us freedom of choice. And if we choose to go bad as a nation, to go the wrong direction as a nation, God will appoint us leaders that are going the wrong direction for the nation. If we choose to go the right direction as a nation, God will appoint leaders that will take us the right direction as a nation. Now, depending on which side of the aisle you stand on, and we're not going to get political, don't worry. A lot of people may be upset by that depending on where you stand. But what we have to understand as believers is we are accountable to God. And the church is the first one that's accountable. The Bible says that judgment begins where? the house of God. That is, judgment begins with me and it begins with you guys. And God will deal with the church first before he even dares to begin to deal with the world. God says, I need to purify my church. I need to make them holy and put them in a place where they can be a testimony and a witness and be able to share their faith and be what they're supposed to be. Once my church is in order, then I can deal with the nation. And again, this is what God is going to be doing with Abimelech today and the people there in Shechem. God is dealing with both of them because they were both in rebellion. And again, this is where we have to realize our responsibility as believers and as those that are a part of this nation. We have accountability before God. You know, when I read the prophets and I read especially the leaders that God raised up to go and change the nation, look at Nehemiah. God called Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the walls because they had been torn down. There's lots of spiritual analogies in that. The walls of their nation had been torn down. The walls of our nation had been torn down in many ways. And God raised Nehemiah up and said, Nehemiah, go back and tell the people it's time to rebuild the walls. And yet when Nehemiah began to pray, Nehemiah didn't say, oh God, the evil people of Israel. Oh, they're so evil. God, they're so evil and they've done. He said, no, God, we, the evil people of Israel. And those aren't his exact words, but that was what he was saying. I lump myself in. We have sinned against you. We have turned away from you as a nation. He didn't point to the last kings that he had in the country saying, these kings before we were destroyed by Babylon and carried into Babylon, they're the ones to blame. Lord, they're the ones that brought us down. Those kings from that political party, they're the problem. He didn't do that. He said, God, I'm the problem. I'm the problem, and we as a nation, we're the problem. Here's what we did as a people. As a people, we turned away from our God, and because we turned away from our God, God gave us the leaders that we deserved, and those leaders have led us into a place where our nation is being destroyed. You know, when you read about what God does to a nation that honors him, God says, you know what, I'll do all these special things and all these blessings, and God says, a nation that dishonors me, I'll do all these things and these bad things, and that's how our God works. He is a God that chastises, and we may not like that. I'm sure when you were a kid, if your mom and dad spanked, you didn't like that either. But the bottom line is God did it. I know that I didn't like it. I didn't really ever get spanked. The only one time they ever tried, only one time in my life I remember my parents tried to spank me. That's probably why I turned out the way I did. But either way, the only one time I remember my parents tried to spank me, I ran from my dad. And I remember I was running from my dad. I'm sharing this. Yes, I was in my underwear running through the house from my dad. And there was a women's meeting in the living room. I ran right down the middle of them. And you just seen the looks on the women in my mom's face as I went right through the room. That's what we do. We don't care what is going to happen to us if we're running from judgment or chastisement. We just want to get away. But God will eventually corner us where we can't get away. And I believe our nation has been cornered. God says, if you turn away from me, I'll destroy your economy. I'll allow you to, the Bible says, if you honor me, I will make you have no debt and you'll be lending money to other nations. That comes out of Deuteronomy. He says, but if you dishonor me, I'm going to let your national debt is going to go out the roof. And he said, I'm going to do it until you break. I'm going to take everything you have. I'm going to let yourself completely collapse until you as a nation recognize we've turned away from God. We need to turn back because God hits us wherever it's most painful. He knows what's going to work. That's only one of the things. God also says, I'll let violence increase in your land. Now, again, I'm not taking up for terrorism and what happened here. We've had 4, 5, or 6 different terrorism attacks here over the last few years in our nation. But the bottom line is, and I'm not saying that God's doing that. I'm not saying that God's sending terrorists among us. I'm not saying that God, here's what God says. God says, I will remove my protection. Now, that's a big difference than bringing judgment. Removing protection, God says, so he says, I will back my hand away. If you want to go your own way, you want to deny me, you want to turn away from me, have at it. I'm not going to make you follow me. I'm not going to make you honor me. But you know the reason you haven't been attacked in America? Do you know why? It's not because of the ocean. It's because I've had my arms around this nation. Because as a nation, you've honored me and you've honored the nation of Israel. Now you're going to choose not to honor me. Now you're going to choose not to honor the nation of Israel. I'm not going to do anything but remove my arms. And I'm going to watch to see if you'll run back to me for help. Guys, it has begun. And that is, God is moving his hand more and more. He's removing our protection. He's allowing our economy to collapse. They're saying by next year it'll be over $20 trillion. I don't think we can even imagine what kind of money that is. The bottom line is, a society cannot stay sustained that way. We will collapse. So this is not to be a downer. This is to be an encouragement and say, it's time for the church to wake up and begin to repent. We've got to repent first. We've got to make sure that we're right with God, that our houses are right with God, that our families are right with God. And then as we do that, God says, look, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and begin to heal their land. I'll heal their land. But it starts with the church. So it's easy for us to point fingers. There's an election cycle going on. There's people running for office. And there's going to be a lot of finger pointing about don't elect that guy, don't elect that guy, elect this guy, elect that lady, whoever. The bottom line is we should not be looking to any man or any woman to be our rescuer and our savior, but one. And that is Jesus Christ, the man God, the God man. He's the only one that can rescue our nation. A political party won't rescue us. A grassroots movement won't rescue us. Aligning ourselves with a certain group won't rescue us. We as a nation have to once again turn to God and say, we decide to be one nation under God. And we want to stand with you because you're our God. And we're going to do it unashamedly. We're going to welcome everyone. And we're going to love everyone. But we're going to stand with the God of the Bible, which we were founded on, which our Constitution was based on. And here's where we are. And if we do that, God says, I will bless you. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, in one way, I say this, and it feels so futile because we have like, you know, several hundred people today hearing the message and think, well, what impact could that make? The bottom line is, I believe God is moving in the hearts of others across the nation to give the church the same message. And that is God is calling from heaven saying, I need my church to get right with me. Then I'll begin to move in the land. Don't look to a man. Don't look to a woman. Don't look to a political party. Look to Jesus Christ. And isn't it going to be a great day when he really does come back and sit on the throne in Jerusalem? You talk about a righteous ruler and a righteous king. You see, the problem here with the children of Israel, they had looked to a man. They looked to Abimelech. And here was Abimelech's problem. It was all about Abimelech. He wanted power. He wanted his agenda. He wanted glory. He wanted it to go his way. And if anybody didn't like it, tough, I'm doing it anyway. Abimelech was a man who said, I'll do what I want no matter what. And the people said, yeah, we like that. We want you. We'll elect you in office. Go do that. And God says, now you're all going to be judged. Not only am I going to judge Abimelech, but I'm going to judge the people as well. And we're going to see that both of them turn on each other and both of them get God's chastisement and judgment because they were in rebellion to God. Now, you remember who Abimelech was. He was one of the sons, one of the 70-some sons of Gideon, if you will. He wanted power. His mother was a Shechemite, and so he broke off and said, hey, you Shechemites, follow me. Don't follow the other Gideon sons, and they weren't even trying to get power, but he was trying to get power. He said, elect me, put me in position, so to speak, and I'll look out for your best interests. And of course, he was doing it just for him. He wasn't really doing it for the people, but they didn't know that till it was too late. But now they're going to find out, and so they begin to turn on him, and he begins to turn on them. But he murdered 70 of his brothers on one stone in Gideon's hometown. And so now we see that he will do anything to hold on to that power, whatever he has to do, and it's going to bring the entire nation down, but God's going to hold the people accountable as well. And that's what's key for us, for every generation, is that no matter what we think about our mayor or our governor or our senator or congressman, it doesn't matter. God is looking at us and saying, you have the senator and governor, you have the mayor, you have all these, that's who you deserve. I'm allowing you to have who you deserve. So if you have any complaints against your political leadership, you need to first go to your own knees in your prayer closet and say, God, what am I doing wrong? What is the church doing wrong? What are we as a nation doing wrong? And then from that's our starting point as believers. And it should have been their starting point here in the nation of Israel before they let Abimelech be in power, but they did it. And that's where we take up in verse 22. And notice it says, after Abimelech had reigned over Israel for 3 years, not very long, 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously, note that, with Abimelech, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbabel might be settled and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who aided him in the killing of his brothers. Now, wow, it didn't take long for this thing to fall apart, did it? He was the hero 3 years ago. Now, 3 years later, he's the bad guy. Isn't that just so true? When you look at our generation after generation of people that look toward the earthly leader to be the one that's going to rescue them. And so now they see this one they thought was going to be their hero, and they find out this guy's no hero. As a matter of fact, he's destroying us. And so they begin to deal treacherously with him, and now they're both going to destroy each other, if you will. And the problem was they were looking to man to be the answer rather than God. And of course, this was part of Jotham's prophecy that he gave and his pronouncement of judgment when he stood up there on Mount Gerizim and begin to pronounce down to them that they would destroy each other with fire. And we're going to see before today's done, they literally destroyed each other with fire. It wasn't just verbiage. And notice, I find this interesting. It says here that, notice they were dealt with treacherously. That is, Abimelech was dealt with treacherously. The men of Shechem dealt with him that way. And God, again, had put this ill will between them to deal with him treacherously. And that's interesting because Psalm 18:26 says this. Speaking of the Lord, he says, with the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. Translation, God deals with us the way we need to be dealt with. If we are merciful as a people, if we're gracious as a people, God deals with us in mercy and grace. If we are harsh and we are treacherous, God deals with us shrewdly. He deals with us firmly, and he deals with us the way that we deal with others and the people around us. And God says, all right, you're going to be treacherous, Abimelech. I'm going to have the people turn on you in a treacherous way. And again, God judging him, all he saw was what he wanted. All the people saw was what they wanted. And now we're realizing that God says, you know what? You do this, it's going to come back on your own head. Now look at verse 25. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who passed by them along that way, and it was told Abimelech. Get the picture of what's happening. Here is how their economy ran in the small cities. When the caravans came through your city, you would tax them. Yes, they taxed the people to a certain degree from time to time, but you would tax the caravans as they came through and as they went out, depending on the goods they had and the goods that they purchased. What these guys were doing were, is they were stopping the caravans before they could even get into Shechem, and they were robbing them. Which means that by the time they came in to take their taxes or their whatever they needed for their economic movement within Shechem, it was already gone. God was now bringing judgment on the economy of Shechem through these people that were plundering those coming in because of Abimelech. And he was allowing it to get worse and worse to turn the heat up on the people so he could get their attention. Again, this is, as I said, one of the main ways that God gets a people and or a nation's attention. And so God does it. And they were telling Abimelech, they're stealing everything. Nothing's making it into Shechem. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers, and they went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. Man, how quickly they turned to someone else. You know, just 3 years before, it was the happening politician was Abimelech. Follow me, and I'll give you everything you want. Now they're seeing things aren't going the way they thought, so now let's look to someone else. And Gaal shows up. Hey, follow me, you know, making signs, all for Gaal. You know, follow me, and we'll do this thing, and I'll give you everything you want. And I'll make sure that all this happens in the way you want it to happen. And the very same tactic that Abimelech used to get into power, now we see Gaal beginning to use to get into power. And that is, he's going to tell them that, you know, follow me and I'll give you everything you want. And so, again, the empty promises of man, and rather than depending on God as they should as a nation, once again, they're going to look to a man, and it's not going to turn out good for either of them in the midst of it because of Abimelech. And notice it says, so they went out into the fields and they gathered grapes from their vineyards and they trod them. So this means this was during the summertime. And they made merry. That's a nice way of saying they were getting drunk. And how do we know that? Look at the rest of the verse. And they went into the house of their God, and they ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Here's what they would do in these ancient cultures. They actually had gods of drinking, you know, gods of alcohol they had. So they would go out and get the, and since they weren't following the true God anyway, they had these other temples that were there, you know, all Berith we know was there and all this. So they had these other gods there. Bacchus was one of the Roman gods. I'm not sure what the Shechemites called him, but it was the god of wine. The god of drinking. So they would get all the wine in there. They would go into their temple. And how would you like this? Their church service was to go and get drunk together. You can see how Satan lures the flesh in, right? Same way he used to use some of the ancient temples to worship through sexual activity because he knows the man's weakness. Get to man where they are in the flesh, you know, not of God, but of the world, if you will, of the enemy. So they're in there getting drunk. And you know what happens? Hopefully you don't know on a personal level what happens when you get drunk. But when people get drunk, as the drink flows, so do their lips. They begin to talk. And begin to get braggadocious. And now we see Gaal in here and all the guys having this party, so to speak, in this false god's temple. They're eating and drinking, and notice they're cursing Abimelech. You know, yeah, they're real bold when they're drunk, right? And then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? Is he not, and Zebul, rather, his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? Very interesting. He says, turn back to the even more ancient father, the true father of the Shechemites, Hamor. Serve him. Don't serve these children of Jacob, if you will. Do you remember when Jacob came through with his sons and they stopped there at Shechem? Hamor, who was the founder of Shechem, if you will. Remember, Dinah went in to go hang out at the mall with all the worldly girls of Shechem. And she ran across some cute boy, and they ended up in bed together. And the brothers got furious. They said, you have defiled our daughter Dinah. And then they you know, tried to pretend they were going to be friends with them. So they said, there's no way that we can have marriages. He said, then the prince of Shechem, you know, wanted to marry Dinah. And he said, well, there's no way we can do that because you have to be circumcised. You need to become like one of us and one of our people. And they agreed to it, but it was a trick. They were all circumcised. And on the third day, when they were in the most pain, they fell upon the city and killed them all. And so there was this whole history of this battle between the peoples that were already there. So this would be all the more reason to stir them up. You know the history. You know the ancient hatred. You know how our people have been mistreated throughout the centuries and in the past. Now it's time to raise up and take these guys out. So playing on all the human emotions and everything that would pull them into the battle. And so getting the people on his side again. Why should we serve him? Look at verse 29. Again, if only this people were under my authority. Now we have Abimelech the second. Gaal, you know, my authority. I want power. I want position. Vote for me. I'll make sure everything goes great. I'll restore the economy. I'll do all these things, right? And the problem is, it was what God was doing with them, not what they were, you know, doing through the leadership. It was their rebellion to God. That was the problem. And so he says, you need to serve me and let me be the authority. Then I would remove Abimelech. So he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. You know, and again, he's speaking real boldly while Abimelech's not there. And then when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was aroused. Now remember, this is Zebul. The Bible tells us he was some type of city official here, if you will, probably like a mayor or city administrator, probably politically appointed by Abimelech. And when he hears the words that Gaal is saying, he gets angry. He's taking up for Abimelech. He's taking up for his boss. He's thinking, hey, this is my job's on the line, you know, maybe my life. Because back then when you lost an election, a lot of times you got killed. It wasn't like today, you know. You lose an election today and you just lose. Back then, a lot of times you were put to death. And so this was a big deal to Zebul. And he sent messengers, verse 31, to Abimelech saying, take note, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem. And here they are fortifying the city against you. They're turning against you, and now they want to destroy you, Abimelech. And of course, Abimelech had that personality that was, no, I'm staying in power. I think not. Now, therefore, rather, get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And notice, he not only tells him he needs to go to battle, he gives him a battle plan. You need to ambush him. Get your guys together, conquer him. It shall be as soon as the sun is up in the morning that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, that you may do to them as you find opportunity. In other words, wipe them out. So Abimelech and all the people who were with him rose by night, and they lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. And when Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood at the entrance of the city gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, no, you see shadows in the mountains, as if they were men. Zebul's covering for him, trying to let Abimelech get more in place and more in position as they're coming in for the ambush. No, you're imagining things. I don't see anybody. It's just probably the sun and the shadow and the trees waving. There's nothing to worry about. Trying to buy more time.
Thanks for being with us today here on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. This radio program is an outpouring of the ministry happening at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are many intriguing stories from the book of Judges, but one of the ones that stands out to me is the story of Gideon. He put out that fleece three times to get a clearer answer or direction from God. God worked with Gideon in this, and he showed up mightily. In fact, God wanted to show what he could do with fewer people so that his ability to come through for his people would be evident. Instead of thousands to fight against their opponent, God had Gideon go up against the enemy with a few hundred men. This is how God works many times, coming in clutch at the last minute and doing things in such an unconventional way that you can only point to God for the answer and the solution. Do you have situations that have occurred in your life where you can claim that it was all God who orchestrated it all? I know I do. And I try to remember those instances so I don't forget God's goodness and His plan in it all. If you'd like to share any of those times or situations that you've experienced, would you give us a call at 865-609-1385? We'd love to hear from our listeners about how God is working in their lives. That number again to call is 865-609-1385. 1385. You can also learn more about this ministry by going to thewaymedia.net. Thanks for learning and growing from the Book of Judges here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.